Good afternoon. Well, if we go to, well, Lars had his life very tightly related to agricultural resource service. So if you go to the site of ARS, well, you have name, you have, of course, phone, address, position. At the right side, you have a list of cool projects that he was involved, is currently involved. But what I didn't like about this, I didn't like the fact that there is no image. So I was trying to find an image that would express the idea what Lars did for the pizza transfer functions, and how did he really, image that we could relate to, and we could refer, and we could, and the image I came up with is this. So you have a powerful thing with branches, and these branches go further, and then you have something big, something useful, and something whole. So that's what I think. So what here are the branches of largest activity in pizza transfer functions. So here, what's that? Which branch? Scaling, infiltration, effective properties of heterogeneous area, pizza transfer with measures retention, and class pizza transfer functions using Kazany-Karman and some other things. So that's the tree which really a large build. And I just want to go a little bit of monkey work, just climbing this tree and see what happened. First idea that Lars introduced was including one or more measured water retention data drastically enhances pizza transfer functions. It's a work of 1985, and it was a romantic time. If you can think of any romanticism in pizza transfer work, that's what it is. It was time when first big databases were formed, and Rawls, Gupta, Larson, Brokenzik, they built this first pure transfer functions. It was a big success. You could cover the whole country with the hydraulic properties. The issue was that in some cases they didn't work well. And the question was, okay, are there other useful inputs that could be used? And the people talking about mineralogy, about, I guess, CC. But what Lars came up was simple and in some way very ingenious. He said, okay, well, let's just take one or maybe two points, measured points, on, say, water retention curve. And then we can, if we use this one as an input pizza transfer function, then it will be improved, and it will be improved drastically. And what happened with this idea further on? First of all, this idea went into Rosetta. And we know what Rosetta is. That's the huge database software which allow you to get estimates of hydraulic properties of soils. And Rosetta is used widely all over the world. The application I just randomly pull out, it's the using Rosetta to characterize soil hydraulic properties across the network of NRCS measurement points. And then this largest idea went further. So why 33 kilopascal? Why don't we try something else? And 100 kilopascal was at the Gambarian and Milan. They looked at the tropical soils, and then Rahimi looked at the Canadian soils. They say, no. That largest idea is good, but let's modify it a little bit. Then somebody said, okay, well, why the one number? Why 33? Why 100? Instead, they say, okay, this value at which you use as the additional input has to be dependent on texture. And then the Chin and the others in 2010 were very successful in this one. And then Well, since Lodge showed that 2 points are really sufficient to pretty much characterize water retention, then the two-point method arose in Australia, and Hamish Cresswell promulgates it all over the world. He tried it in France, he tried it in Scotland, and it worked very well. And again, it started from the largest, from the idea of Lodge of using this, the additional water retention. And then it appears that it can be used with gravimetric water retention curves. And this opened a huge database of National Resource Conservation Service, because the water retention database of National Resource Conservation Service is really gravimetric. So, and now this thing it continues. All it started with this ingenious idea of Lodge in 1985. Now let's look at another one: scaling and pivot transfer. Interestingly, Lodge was really the first who really felt and demonstrated that these two notions should be always used together. The idea which he was using was really proposed before. Its characteristic length is proportional to the inverse of characteristic pressure head. But the way he developed this thing actually morphed into work which now Morteza Sadeghi shows beginning from 2010 and 2012 and 15, and he is getting fantastic analytical solutions based on this idea and based on the way how Lodge looked at this point. And other things which came out from this Lodge's approach was that people began to think that, if we scale based on this inverse of characteristic pressure head, we might as well use different equations for the water retention curve. You don't need to use single equations, say, only Brooks-Corey or only Wangen-Ochten. You can use log-normal, as Kasugi and Hochland demonstrated. And then scaling can be a criterion to select the field scale water retention curve. And that's what we demonstrated with Walter Rolls in 2000. And all it started from this approach that Lodge introduced in 1989. Continuing to this one, I'm just pointing to two papers. One of them was scaling water characteristic and hydraulic conductivity based on the Gregson Hector McCollum model, and another one, the work on scaling infiltration redistribution. What Lodge was demonstrating, really, that grouping soil can increase decrease number of pivot transfer parameters. And that's a big deal, because those are empirical parameters. The less parameters you have, the more accurate you are getting. And this idea of using class pivot transfer functions, which was advocated by Bohmer, but he actually said it later. I believe that Lodge was really the first who explicitly formulated this, and then he applied it to various problems, not problems really, various setups, scaling parameters for Levin-Kostyakov infiltration equation, that's what was done, and then estimation of transpiration across the textures, then adequate estimates of average water profiles based only on the textural class name, and the drainage saturated hydraulic conductivity relationships. It all was done based under this program. And each of these approaches was developed further. And I just don't have time and really space to show how this branch of the tree that Lodge kind of grew was developing. Another thing which came out of Lodge's work, it's 1984, it's effective porosity is an efficient predictor of saturated hydraulic conductivity. The effective porosity is in this equation, which is in the right there. So what came out of this one? How this branch was developing? First of all, it's the foundation of U.S. and Australian nationwide saturated hydraulic conductivity, pit transfer functions. Then efficient approach to estimate changes in case set related to the compaction and tillage. That was a big deal. And well, work well in 2012, and there are some others. There was quite a bit of a discussion what how to define effective porosity. And the definitions were changing, 66 kilopascal, it's the Amin Run work, and then the PTF for the effective porosity was developed recently in Canada. Volumetric water content of fine fractions, that's very kind of whimsical idea, but actually beautiful idea, which leads essentially to the same thing. Then using the inflection point on water retention curve to define the effective porosity, that's Jimenez and Hahn and Lilly. And in general, using the info about structure. That was a combination of important combination of things. It was developed further, and then I just want to mention this that there were more physics put into this, and this equation was modified by Astoli and by Orr, but still, it all originated from this simple and effective way to do things. Hydraulic properties of heterogeneous area, aggregate, how do you aggregate? And I think that Lars was first in his group that say very clearly how you do this. You need to look separately on the redistribution, separately on infiltration, and then you will get a reasonable approach to this aggregation problem. I'm skipping this thing, but this yin and yang in scaling better transfer. If you look what else, other branches, they were built on this idea. So there are some things which wait for further building, management-related PTF inputs, temporal components of PTF transfer work, concurrent temporal stability of yields and water, that was first demonstrated by Lodge, effect of texture on the effective depth of interactions, but that's, I guess, Dr. Sharpe will be talking about this. So there are much more in this tree that was set and grown by Lodge. But all the previous stuff was scientific research. I thought, okay, if I'll do a non-scientific research, what I'll find? I went to this site, and I tried to find the meaning of the name Ahuja for myself. And here's what I found. Creative and intuitive, you are a true character who will be remembered and noticed by others. A diplomat who knows the importance of listening to others, never missing a character. Sometimes you can be stubborn, unbounded. Not liking monotony, there is a desire to get moving. Breaking habits routinely makes life worth living. And after this list, the only thing I can say, thank you a lot.
We have time for a couple of questions.
I don't want to express the largest idea because I don't know it yet. But what I can say is that, to build a PETA transfer, right? We're talking PETA transfer here. You need what? Something measured, right? And you need to decide on inputs. And from my perspective, what you really can do, you can do two things. In terms of inputs, we need to try different ways of aggregating data. Because we don't know how to aggregate for the large area. And second thing, what we need to figure out, okay, we are getting measured values. And probably data assimilation is the source of this information. So if the data assimilation will go hand in glove with the methodology of aggregation, there will be results. That's my opinion.
Any other questions? Then I have a little one. I saw you compared 33 kilopascal as the point for field capacity and 100 kilopascal. That was new to me. So did you also go more to the red to, let's say, 10 kilopascal?
I think it's possible. The reason is that if we're thinking about this value as something which defines field capacity, right? Then if you go to different countries, you have these values different. In Brazil, you have 5 kilopascal, right? Castle here, at some point, was thinking about 8 kilopascal. He was talking about that. So this is not a constant, and I believe that if you have a set data set and you really want to work with it, you need to try to see which one fits better. It's not a constant.
Well, thank you very much again.